Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. Why are they the ultimate? Well, one of the reasons is because they're going to help you with ICD-10, the transition to the new codes. You need to know it, and you probably don't know it as well as you should. Check them out at www.webpt.com/podcast to find out more about ICD-10 for a free demo and a lot more. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders, part of the UpDoc Media family. I am Dr. Gene Shirakabrad, all by my lonesome in terms of co-host today. Urson is with family. Joe is doing some work. And I'm going to do something now that is a cardinal sin of podcast. I'm going to date it. And so we're right before Thanksgiving, the week before. So a lot is happening, a lot of crazy shopping. Me personally, for my other company, I've been doing a lot of online marketing more than usual, getting ready for Black Friday because I have a product that I sell. So it's been crazy all over the place. And so last episode we did, if you're following chronological order, which a lot of you should because that's how we want it, we did a what do you think of when I say physical therapy episode. And that was Joe and I, we were at PPS, the business conference for physical therapy, and we walked around and asked strangers three questions. When I say physical therapy, what do you think of? When I say chiropractor, what do you think of? And how old are you? And we got some interesting answers. But also during that conference, in that episode, we mentioned that we talked to a lot of business owners, right? This is a conference of private practice owners that run businesses or want to run businesses or want to run better businesses. And I think most fit into one of those groups. And even though we didn't interview on record these people, we did have a lot of discussions away from it. If you're interested in the PPS write-up, check out updocmedia.com and look up A Meeting of Meetings, which was my write-up on it, which what PPS essentially is. And business is crucial. And one of the best business-minded people I know in the physical therapy world is Larry Benz, who has been on this podcast twice before. And today he is going for the trifecta and puts him in rare, rare company of the three-peat Therapy Insiders podcast. So Larry, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Gene. I appreciate the work that you guys are doing, and I appreciate the trifecta. You know, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky right now, where there's horse racing going on at Churchill Downs. It's running through the day after Thanksgiving, which is a big day at the track. So let's just keep with the horse racing theme if we can.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm in Maryland, so we got Pimlico. We're the second leg. Right. So I'm with you, man. I completely get it.
Super.
Even though I hear it's a lot prettier where you are compared to Pimlico, it's not a really nice part of town.
Yeah, well, you know, Churchill Downs is historic. It's big, steeples and all that. You know, Keeneland, the racetrack in Lexington, is actually the prettiest one I've been to. It's phenomenal and a real sight if you've ever watched any good horse racing. If you watch the movie Secretariat, it's where it was filmed, and just a beautiful track.
Yeah, I've heard Pimlico is a little bit older, but has that history, and they've talked a lot about moving it and updating the business, you know, modernizing and looking forward. And I think that's very important, not just for horse racing, but for physical therapy as well. And moving forward involves change, and sometimes people don't like change. Actually, most people don't like change, I would say. And so if we're moving forward, if we're developing businesses, Larry, what do you think that really entails in the physical therapy world? How can we improve the business of physical therapy? And I know that's a loaded question and quite open, but I'd really like to hear your thoughts from a big picture standpoint.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple things. If you really look at, you know, sort of the history of physical therapy in general and then private practice, you'll see a good evolution of sort of a narrow set of folks who operated in their own silos to now a community of private practices. that are playing in the sandbox together. And that includes historically some of the education and training opportunities that they've had. The private practice section of the APTA has been, sort of the linchpin in their leadership over the years. If nothing else, getting private practices together for their own sort of emotional support group. And, I don't know if I've said this story on the podcast, but I certainly remember when I got into private practice in the late 80s, somebody asking me, I think my dad at the time said, who are your enemies? And, who would be against outpatient private practice? And I'd say, it's interesting. The people that are the most against us are my colleagues. They're the ones who are working in other settings and who automatically have this knee-jerk reaction that if you go into private practice, that you're some kind of money-grubbing, pig. And the reality is that outpatient private practice is purely responsible for today's really evolvement of my personal physical therapist, the whole idea of marketing, the whole idea of value. Private practice physical therapists have had to live in a stifled climate of reimbursement stagnation for a number of years and be able to do it and thrive. The best proof of that is the investment community. If you walked the halls at all at PPS, you saw a number of folks from the private equity and public company sector that are looking at private practices to build around. It's an energetic environment, enthusiastic environment. And as I like to say, it's the real shortage is not in PT, it's in PTs that can manage. So in order to do that effectively, we have to become good students of the great game of business. And that includes marketing, that includes strategy, that includes accounting, finance, public relations, social media, the very things that you're doing on this podcast. And to do that, you have to have an open mind and you have to certainly be resilient and embrace change and learn from your colleagues. If nothing else, adult learners learn best when they're in community with one another. And we've seen just a plethora of that in the industry the last few years. And there's not a day or a week goes by where I don't see a Facebook post or a LinkedIn post or get an email from a member mentor sort of matching where people are asking each other questions and talking about how they can enhance their practice, how they can get better clinical excellence, how they can get a better value proposition in the market, how they can get more patients in their door. So it's a great time to be in private practice physical therapy. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I love it and have been a part of it since the mid 80s. So it's a great, great spot for us right now, Gene.
So we'll come back to business strategy because I definitely want to touch on some of that. But I'm glad you said about the equity firms and finances in general. So if anybody follows business, which I'm hoping you are, and not just physical therapy business, I'm talking about the startup scene, investing, getting funding for a company, startup, not lifestyle. And if you've been following it, you probably have read lately that investors are really kind of down on tech. It's still happening. I mean, Silicon Valley's still kind of the hub of that, but the tide is turning towards healthcare. A lot of investors are really looking for health, for good health businesses to invest in, whether it's a clinic or it's health center tech. It's really the hot investment now because it is growing and it's a bit of a bullish market, even though we're in a bubble in terms of us with tunnel vision for physical therapy, because we see a lot of things that can improve. And sometimes when you look at things that can improve, you look at things that are wrong instead of the potential of what could be. And Larry, you said to see that potential, you kind of have to be creative and open-minded, but sometimes to have that potential, you can't do it yourself. You have investment firms, but you also have to make strategic partnerships and alliances. And I saw on Twitter there was a discussion about the Physical Therapy Business Alliance, and there seemed to be some confusion. Would you mind clarifying and just kind of explaining what that is and why it is?
Yeah, sure. So, there's, of course, a lot of us are ex-military, so we love to throw around these acronyms like PTBA or APTCQI or PTCPCS. So let's deconstruct some of these a little bit. So the PTBAlliance.org is a physical therapy business alliance, and it was a group that was formed of private practices that were all founding members. And the idea behind it was to band businesses together as opposed to individual members. So if you join APTA, you're joining as an individual member. If you join the private practice section, it's not your practice or your clinicians that are joining, it's you individually. Well, we wanted a a trade organization that represented the business interests of physical therapists practicing within their own regional environment. So the founding board of directors are all members of PPS. That's a mandate. And so we include all of their employees in as members. I best think of it, the analogy is that it's a chamber of commerce model, where you sort of have a national chamber of commerce, then you might have region, throughout the country. Because, you know, I'm fond of saying that if you've seen one healthcare market, you've seen one healthcare market. You know, that all of these are very unique, that healthcare delivery tends to be very local and regionalized, especially on payer behavior. So in essence, what we've done is we formed specifically with the idea of adding value to outpatient physical therapy practices to represent the business interests and to represent legislatively payment reform for practices, because private practice section is a part of the APTA, and the APTA's agenda legislatively is not always either in alignment with the business interests of physical therapists, or it's not even part of their scope or focus. So we wanted something exclusively part of that. As we were forming the whole alternative payment system, or APS, which has now been changed to the physical therapy classification payment system, was formed, and that's sort of the alternative payment system that was initially promulgated by APTA. That was nine, codes of a severity intensity model, and we felt that it was very pushed down the throat legislatively going towards CMS. So APTQI, which is APTQI.com, was really a group of practices, mostly private equity sponsor backed or large regional players in the private in the out pure play outpatient physical therapy. Includes two public companies, Select Medical and USPH, and they formed their alliance specifically to look at this payment reform issue, because they had some of the same criticisms that we had at PTBA. We put an alternative proposal together in 2012. I think we're the only group that's really successfully put a proposal and alternative out there. And so that organization exclusively is sort of resonating around or coalescing around this issue. And PTBA recently became an additional member of that alliance. So that alliance is almost exclusively focused on this payment reform issue, whereas the PTBA is looking at other business and other interests and mobilization around strategy and payment reform to assist the private practices out in the U.S. So that's the two organizations I think you were most seeing on Twitter.
So I think those were the two big ones, and I think some people are just confused by the difference between the two, and I'm glad you clarified it. And if from the outside looking in, right, when you see alliances made, I think that it naturally makes people a bit squeamish, and the word transparency comes up. And if you're pushing reform and you're pushing change, like we said, like we alluded to earlier, change is a scary thing. And if this change is happening and people don't really see the steps involved, again, that can, I think, create a fear of the unknown. And the fear of the unknown, whether it's in the clinic when your patient comes in and they don't know what's wrong with them, or it's in business when you your livelihood depends on it. If you really don't know what's going on, then you start creating scenarios based on previous experiences or worst case situations. So the alliances and everything you're doing, is there transparency? Do people get to see if people aren't members? Could people become members? What are the goals of the alliances for clinics that are smaller, that are not part of big groups, that might not understand or have comfort with such business strategy?
No, that's a great question. So let me take a step back for a minute and keep in mind that the APTA, which represents individual members of the American Physical Therapy Association, at best represents about 30% of all, 150,000 approximately practicing PTs across the U.S. So it represents a minority of individual PTs. So it's not uncommon in any industry, in any profession, to have multiple different legislative and alliances that form, all who have, who typically work in concert with one another, representing different legislative issues. And so you create a critical mass or a synergistic effect from a lobbying standpoint. I think the Alliance, for example, has about 4,000 clinics in it. Probably PTBA represents over 2,000 clinics. And then if you add up the number of employees, it's a pretty significant number. Now, in terms of transparency, yeah, absolutely. PTBA, we published our alternative on the PTBA blog and the Evidence in Motion blog. The Alliance has been very transparent if you look on their website of what they stand for and what they believe. There have been multiple phone calls with APTA to discuss the issue, been multiple meetings as well. And I can just tell you that the collaboration and the transparency is the key item that we're promoting at PTBA and the Alliance, because what we don't feel is that there's been good collaboration and good historical transparency from the APTA on this issue. For example, we don't believe that the severity intensity model best represents the value in practice. If that were the case, we would all wait till our patients are more severe and more intense before we would treat them, which actually is counterintuitive or counter to the trend of PT first and getting PTs as the front lines of aches and pains. As you well know, PT is only seen by about 7% of low back pain patients that are seen by a private or a family practice physician, whereas about 50% of them get an analgesic. So we need to increase that number. So I have seen some recent signs that APTA has reached out recently, in particular over the past few days, to the Alliance, which PTBA is a part of, to develop a more plan that creates a little better unified approach on the issue. So I'm very optimistic that we're all, you know, we're sort of all in the same kayak here. Sometimes we get a little off course with one another, but I think ultimately I could assure you that PTBA and the Alliance, all whom have extremely fierce competitors, these are very competitive folks competing against one another, but they put aside those competitive differences through a combination of leadership and best interests on this payment reform to bind by it. So I'm convinced that both PTBA and the Alliance have the best absolute interest in payment reform at heart, and I trust APTA at their word relative to that same comment as well. I just think if you're looking at payment reform, the pure play outpatient physical therapy providers and PTBA, who live and work in this environment every day, want to see a consensus built around a payment reform. They want to see it pilot tested. They want verification. They want reliability, reproducibility, and they want the science of that being vetted properly before it gets recommended to AMA and CPT panel.
I'm glad to hear that collaboration is happening. And when you're dealing with big organizations, it's always tough. It's, you know, it's not so much a canoe as much of a bigger ship, and bigger ships are harder to steer. But I'm glad that at least the navigation is on. And I know change takes time to happen, but I think it would be good to. I know you had a town hall, right, for the Alliance for questions.
Yeah, we did. We had PTBA had a town hall. We invited anybody to it, so anybody could have signed up for it. There is another one planned that is actually the Alliance is going to put on. So they're going to be the host, and perhaps Jeff Hathaway and myself will be able to keep our mouths shut and not have to be the answer to the question. So yeah, they're in the process of organizing the same thing. I'm not sure which date that it will be. And again, it'll be open. Now, I don't know if there's a limiting capacity on these WebEx meeting formats, but I could tell you that the attempt will be very inclusive.
That's fantastic. I think listeners, especially students, definitely take advantage of this. Don't think that just because you're in school, this is above your head or doesn't affect you. I think the opposite. You should be involved and you should know what's going on, because it will be on you to drive this change and to really help everybody that's involved. And it's really big. But Larry, let me ask you a Twitter question. So this came in from David Grigsby from at PT David G. He asked, what is a realistic time frame for payment change, and how will value be measured?
Wait, okay, so that's a two-part question. The realistic time change, yeah, you got to keep in mind the initial sort of stages of this APS, now PT-CPS, started in around 2010. So I think the initial time frame was a 4 to 7 year process of integration. A lot of it is driven, by the way, once you form your model and you turn it over, it becomes a property of the AMA. So there is a certain risk, if you will, of ultimately it is their policy to implement and CMS to either adopt, reject, and CMS to put in place their own. And we've seen evidence of that. So PQRS and the 8-minute rule and MMPR, these were not consensus-driven changes that APTA recommended, by no means. They were changes that they were enforced or thrust on us. So there's always the risk of that happening. And, you know, I've oftentimes been critical of the success, or really what I would call lack of success, that APTA has had with CMS. We've never gotten a direct access strategy that works. We've never gotten a true referral for profit policy implemented that's worked. Now, I want to be clear, though, that criticism perhaps is really more of a criticism of the federal government and CMS than it is of APTA. APTA has certainly tried. What's happened, though, is what oftentimes happens is the policy wonks and the bureaucrats end up influencing the CMS to do something completely out of the realm of anybody's input. And that's what we have when we have a lot of the regulations that are on there. But you're absolutely right in terms of getting the students involved in it. Now, the second question is of value. Boy, that's a tough one. Because the current model would suggest, the one promulgated by APTA would suggest, that severity intensity demonstrates value. APTA is also for, obviously, you know, standardized measuring instruments as well as outcomes, data, and repository. We're all in, I think, alignment on that. But I think where we fundamentally disagree is that we don't believe that our value is measured in severity intensity. We believe that our value is really part of what I oftentimes refer as an old military term is the force multiplier, or the ability for physical therapy to not be looked at in a siloed cost, but how do we impact the concurrent upstream and downstream costs of an episode of care. So that's ultimately how I would like to see our value measured. How many back surgeries have we prevented? What has the data shown that if you send a patient to physical therapy first, that you'll get a significant decrease in imaging, pharmacology, and surgery? And until we get enlightened payers that, and we've started to see some evidence in the data on this, that are not looking at PT and silo costs, but looking at how PT is accessed, if it's accessed first or after the fact, which would be concurrent or downstream, and how do those buckets of cost in physical therapy change? So perhaps an additional dollar spent in physical therapy might actually save $7 in downstream costs. So we have some early data on this. We do not have data on the Medicare, to my knowledge. But that's ultimately how I would want to see value measured.
And if people are keeping track of this, and I think people make judgments, and people, again, based on previous experiences, make assumptions. And that happens to everyone. And when you're kind of in the lead making decisions or trying to create change, and we keep coming back to that word, not everyone agrees, right? And that's okay, as long as it's done in a professional discussion and not personally. And you have a big following, obviously, with EIM, and you've done a lot of cool things, but that doesn't necessarily mean everyone likes the company and or for whatever reason. So if people have that feeling, and it's, let's take away the personal, because anybody that makes personal attacks or personal comments, that immediately becomes irrelevant, right? You lose credibility, and anything you say at this point does not justify the time or day. So if you have critiques, if you have, better yet, questions that lead somewhere, Larry, where can people actually ask these questions in a professional, non-personal manner?
Well, you know, certainly I think there's boards for that. We certainly try to do as much of that on the blog as we can. There's groups within Facebook and LinkedIn. I could tell you that, you know, I'm a big believer that all progress is made through deliberation. And that's why I believe the synergistic effect of the Alliance, PTBA, APTA, PPS, working and communicating with one another will result ultimately in progress and consensus. You know, the best ideas aren't the ones that necessarily get executed. The best ideas are the ones that get consensus and buy-in from their stakeholders. And that's what we really want. Ultimately, we're not going to all agree on everything, but we're going to need to have some sort of shared sacrifice. and some with a common theme about how do we best extrapolate value in the marketplace. And you know, much of what we talk about are opinions. They're not necessarily facts. Now, when it comes to opinion, you own your own opinion, and it's very hard to argue with somebody's opinion. You know, you can try and sway and change their thinking, but that's much different than something that's a fact. And when we get in the idea of value-based reimbursement and value, there's very little facts out there. So what we have to rely on is some aspect of experiential data, experience, I mean, and data combined with the best science that we can. And at the end of the day, we're still shooting out a little bit of you know, best faith, hope, and prayer. So it's a very tough, but I could tell you this payment reform issue is a penultimate issue because it generally happens when Medicare makes a significant coding or policy change that's adopted by you know, AMA CPT codes. It becomes that many payers will go on and adopt it. So this is a debate that everybody needs to be part of. And again, I've seen some very hopeful, optimistic signs that a willingness to collaborate, be transparent, and understand that agreement and alignment don't have to be the same thing, but we all have to have with the best interests of the profession at heart.
WebPT is the ultimate EMR for physical therapy. You know that. One of the reasons is because they know ICD-10, and I don't. So I ask Heidi Janenga, COO of WebPT. Heidi, what the heck is ICD-10?
Well, ICD-10 is diagnosis codes on steroids. We're talking more than 68,000 codes. All HIPAA-covered entities must switch to ICD-10 on October 1st, 2015, or face claim denials. That's where WebPT can help. Our intuitive ICD-10 code selector is built right into our documentation platform, thus simplifying the patient diagnosis process. I encourage all of you to check it out. Visit webpt.com/podcast to request a free online demonstration.
Yeah, and at PPS, I had the opportunity to speak with you and John and Tim and, you know, guys that are running hundreds of clinics to people running one clinic in Kentucky or running two clinics here and there. And I promise you, everybody has the same pain points. Everyone has a hard time finding quality staff. Everyone has a hard time keeping quality staff and the payment. And it on a global scale, and that's one of the cool things of doing what we do, is we get to talk with everybody and maintain objectivity to some extent. But we also can be very personal, and not in the text, but in what we think, because that's kind of the fun part of being a media company, and we do our best to push the information forward. And I've read an interesting book lately, Larry, to finish out. I don't know if you read it. It's called Zero to One by Peter Thiel, who was a co-founder of PayPal. And it presents some really, really cool ideas. And I really love researching fields that are not in physical therapy. So I love the startup scene. I love entrepreneurs because that's kind of how my brain is wired, and started, you know, having started a few startups myself and currently working on a couple. He really talks about this interesting concept of moving away from competition, that when you're in competition, you focus on the other person versus focusing on your customers and really focusing on building a better product and not limiting your creativity. And I think in a lot of ways that's happening to the physical therapy world, that we're so focused on our neighbor, what are they doing, and what is this corporation doing, or what is this hospital doing. We're not unifying together, we're not creating a unified vision, and I think that hurts transparency, and I think that hurts our drive forward. And I think creating alliances is great, and as long as there's transparency. And I think as long as we start moving away from that kind of click from this is ours and we're not going to talk about it, we're not going to talk to you, I think we can do some cool things because the potential is enormous for our field.
That's a great recommendation. I'm familiar with Peter Thiel's story, but I've not read that. But since we're you know, it's getting around the holidays, so we might as well recommend some good business books. One that I've read once, and we're now doing this as our own book club internally in our organization, is called Wiser: Getting Beyond Groupthink to Make Groups Smarter. And it's written, it's by an author by the name of, I think, Cass Sunstein, S-U-N-S-T-E-I-N. And so we know the biases that happen on an individual basis. Well, this book is a very fascinating read. It really follows along the behavioral economics model of a lot of what happens in groups. It's a very practical book. It will raise flags on some of your current thinking and how to avoid groupthink. And I think if we can appreciate the power of groups, but also appreciate that those groups oftentimes will lead us down a narrow bias if we're not careful. So very, very, very quick read and a very good read, one I think folks will get a lot out of.
Awesome. So check that out while you're traveling or scarfing down on turkey after you pass out and wake back up. Grab a book while you're watching football and enjoy and learn something. Larry, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Speaking of trifectas, we already obviously had you on a couple times, three times. We had Tim come on last time, and we have John scheduled coming up in a couple weeks. So we got the EIM trifecta ourselves here.
Oh, there you go. Great.
So we're looking forward to that. And so have a great holiday. And we got a late minute Twitter question come in. Let's finish out with this.
Perfect.
What do people think when they hear physical therapy? How about we ask you that? When you approach people, what do you think the general consensus of physical therapy is, not inside of our field?
Yeah, I think it's generational. I think the millennial generation and our generation would, the baby boomers would essentially say aches and pains, sprains and strains. And hopefully we get them to immediately think that's the not physical therapy, but a physical therapist, and that's who I need to be accessing first. And that just like I've got a veterinarian for my dog, a family physician, I need my own personal physical therapist. That's what I think on the former, and that's what I hope on the latter.
I like it. That's a good way to close it out. So Larry Benz, thanks a lot. Check out Larry at Physical Therapy, obviously at EIM as well, doing some really cool things. And look forward to hearing more from EIM. Looking forward to conversation started from this. And please, we love the conversations. And I'm sure Larry can attest to this as well. Twitter conversations, Facebook conversations. But let's keep it professional. When things get personal, everything gets derailed, and attacks of any kind, however minor, don't do any good for anyone, because everybody wants this profession to get better. And yes, everyone has agendas and everyone has their own goals, but as long as we're all working together for a mutual goal, then we should be able to really accomplish some cool things. So for Larry, thanks a lot. And Maybe in the near future we'll go for the fourth.
The quintella, I guess. I don't know.
I was thinking the quadruple.
Thanks, Gene. Have a great holiday and good turkey day.
You too. So everyone listening, check us out at updocmedia.com. And again, thank you for the reviews. We've been hanging out in the top 20 of therapy or of iTunes in the medical section, which has been really cool. And we just launched consulting for social media as part of UpDoc Media. So definitely check that out. And some webinars for business focused on physical therapy. And all of that is at updocmedia.com. So for Joe and Urson, who are hanging out during the holidays, I'm Gene, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you again next time.